Praise the Lord. We are reading from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but he confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah has said." Is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, in preparation for Christmas, to celebrate the birth of the Messiah, we have been reflecting, studying, meditating on the various messianic prophecies. So far, we have focused our attention on a messianic figure who is qualified as a king from the tribe of Judah, a star from Judah, or a scepter, a king of Israel. That is one of the lines of the expectations. The questions asked by the representatives of Sanhedrin to John the Baptist speak of three various figures. "He is not the Messiah." "I am not the Messiah," John denied. Then they ask him, "Are you Elijah or are you the prophet?" The prophet. So apparently the people were waiting for a person, a redeemer figure who is qualified, who is called the prophet. Today we are going to study this particular aspect of messianic expectation. People waiting for a prophet or the prophet, in fact. Where did they base this expectation on? What were the characteristics of this expectation? How did this expectation come to the people? And what did they expect of this prophet? The prophet is called also the prophet, a very specific particular prophet who is to come at the end of ages to inaugurate a new age. So this was an expectation that is widespread among the Jews in the New Testament time, in Palestine, as well as among the Qumran community, the Essene community who lived in Qumran. They based their hopes and expectations on a particular prophecy, to which we turn our attention next. This prophecy we find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 to 18. May I read this passage? "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or ever again see this great fire, I'll die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I'll put my words in the mouth of that prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command.'" This is a promise given to Moses by God. And this prophecy promises the coming of a prophet like Moses. Now, to understand the implications, the meaning of this prophecy, we have to see also the context in which this prophecy was addressed to the people. We know the book of Deuteronomy is attributed to Moses. Of the five books attributed to Moses, Deuteronomy is the last, the fifth. Deuteronomy comes from the Greek word deuteronomion, the second law. It comes from a misunderstanding that Moses wrote a second list of commandments, and this is presented as a second law. In fact, this is not a second law. This is an interpretation of the law given to the people of Israel through Moses. The context the Bible presents in which the book is written or book is addressed is the end of Moses' life. Moses, the great leader, who led the people out of slavery in Egypt, led them across the sea or through the sea, the Red Sea, mediated the covenant at Sinai, and led the people through the desert and brought them to the edge of the promised land. At the foot of Mount Nebo, in the land of Moab, Moses realized that there he will end. The Lord did not allow him to cross Jordan and enter the promised land. Now, Moses, realizing that the people will be left alone without his guidance, is giving, as if his last words, a detailed exhortation to the people. He reminds them all the great deeds of the Lord, how the Lord liberated them with an outstretched hand and a mighty arm, how the people were liberated from the slavery in Egypt. So Moses reminds them the whole history of the Exodus. He reminds them also of the covenant God has made with them. Now, realizing that he will not be with the people to lead them further, Moses is advising them to remain faithful to the Lord. He fears that when they come into the land of Canaan, they might be tempted to go away from the Lord, become unfaithful to him, break his covenant, and follow other gods. So he is warning them insistently, you should remain faithful to the Lord. You should remember everything that God has done for you. You must remember all that the Lord has asked you to do, and you should teach your children and their children. So from generation to generation, the mighty deeds of the Lord should be remembered among the people, and the covenant should be respected, obeyed. The words of the Lord should be obeyed. Now the question arises, when Moses is no more there, how are the people going to understand God's word? Who is going to speak to them? How are they going to understand God's will for them? Of course, they have the Ten Commandments and the laws. But from day to day, in every daily experience, every need, who is going to guide them? Moses knows that the people of Canaan turned to many other sources for information, for guidance. And that's where he sees a great danger, that the people of Israel might be tempted to imitate the ways of the Canaanites. So initially he gives a warning, that is in chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you must not learn to imitate the abhorrent practices of those nations. No one shall be found among you who makes a son or a daughter pass through fire, or who practices divination, or is a soothsayer, or an augur, or a sorcerer, or one who casts spell, or one who consults ghosts or spirits, or who seeks oracles from the dead. For whoever does these things is abhorrent to the Lord. It is because of such abhorrent practices that the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You must remain completely loyal to the Lord your God. Although these nations that you are about to dispossess do give heed to soothsayers and diviners, as for you, the Lord your God does not permit you to do this. So the people are forbidden to take any means or methods of consulting the dead or consulting God through the means of mediums or augurs or soothsayers or anything of the sort. So these were all methods being used by the Canaanites, and the people of Israel are not allowed to do that because it's all cheating people. Now, how are they then to be guided? That is in this context that Moses tells that the Lord will give them a prophet. A prophet is one who declares to the people the word of God faithfully. The prophet speaks not his own word. The prophet is a spokesperson of God. It is God's word that the prophet will tell. So in every concrete individual situation, the prophet will tell you what you are to do. It is the word of God. Prophet is the medium. So the promise given to the people of Israel on the borders of the promised land, through Moses, who is taking leave, who is going to die, this promise is concerning a prophet who will be always present with them. So initially, this prophecy did not point to a particular prophet. This somehow guarantees the prophetic succession. When Moses dies, another prophet will come, and another, and another. So there is a continuous prophetic succession that enables the people to consult God or to get God's word for them. God will communicate, God will continue to communicate with the people through a prophet. And this prophet is one among them, not a foreigner. A prophet will be sent from among their brethren. The brethren does not mean the brethren of Jacob, that means Esau, or Abraham's son Isaac, or Ishmael, or any other. So here when Moses is speaking about the brethren of Israel, this is the people of Israel themselves. So the prophet will not be a foreigner, a prophet from among the people of Israel. That is the first thing. God will continue to raise a prophet from Israel to communicate the word of God to them. That is a guarantee that God will raise. So the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your people. You shall heed to such a prophet. So that prophet will, the prophecy will continue to guide the people of Israel. This continued after Moses. There had been prophets, a series of prophets, sometimes more, sometimes less. There were some times when there was no prophet available, but then the prophets came. It continued throughout the period of monarchy and also exile. But sometime after the exile, in the post-exilic period, around 450 or around 400, there were no more prophets. There came a situation in the history of Israel when the voice of God was no more heard through a prophet. And there are some evidence to this in the Bible itself. For example, when lamenting on the destruction of the temple, there is a saying in Psalm 74, verse 9, we read, "We do not see our emblems. There is no longer any prophet, and there is no one among us who knows how long." There is no longer any prophet. That is Psalm 74, 9. The book of Maccabees, the first book of Maccabees, also present a situation where there is no prophet. We know the book of Maccabees was written in the first half of the 2nd century BC after the persecution by Antiochus Epiphanes, the Jewish persecution that lasted from 167 to 164 BC, 3.5 years. During which period the temple was desecrated, statue of Zeus was placed in the temple, pork, meat of pig was offered, and so the altar was desecrated. When Judas Maccabeus consecrated the temple, cleansed the temple, purified it and reconsecrated it, there was a problem about the altar. So what is to do with this altar? On this altar, unholy sacrifice was offered, so the altar was desecrated. It has become unholy. So it has to be destroyed. But on the other hand, this altar was already consecrated and was made holy. So it cannot be destroyed. On the one side it is holy, on the other side it is desecrated. So what to do with this holy, desecrated altar? This is the problematic presented in the book of first book of Maccabees, chapter 4, verses 44 to 46. They deliberated what to do about the altar of burnt offering, which had been profaned. And they thought it best to tear it down, so that it would not be a lasting shame to them that the Gentiles had defiled it. So they tore down the altar and stored the stones in a convenient place on the temple hill until a prophet should come to tell what to do with them. Until a prophet should come to tell what to do with them. So they were waiting for a prophet. There was no prophet at the time who could tell exactly what God wants of the people, but they were waiting for a prophet. The same thing happens in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 38. In our day, we have no ruler or prophet or leader, no burnt offering or sacrifice or oblation or incense, no place to make an offering before you and to find mercy. In our day, we have no prophet. So this is a situation where the promise seems to have not been fulfilled. God had given the promise that he would send a prophet always to guide the people. But now is a time when they do not know whom to turn to. There is no more prophet. So in this context, in the post-exilic situation, the prophecy of Moses concerning a prophet like Moses was reinterpreted. So what did God say about with this prophecy? So people came to understand that this is not only dealing with a continuous chain of unbroken succession of prophets, but pointing to a particular individual, a prophet like Moses, whom they called the eschatological prophet, the prophet who is to inaugurate the age of salvation, the new age. So God has given a promise that at the end of ages, a prophet will come, a prophet like Moses. So what is the particular nature of this prophet? What will he do? When will he come? Who will he be? So now let us go back to the prophecy in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, we read again. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. It's a prophet who is raised by God, is sent by God. No one takes upon himself the vocation to be a prophet. Prophet is not made. Prophet is not, there's not one who makes himself a prophet. Prophet is one who is called. It's God who calls. It is God who anoints the prophet. It is God who sends the prophet. So God will raise up one who is called, one who is raised, one who is anointed, one who is sent by God with a particular mission. So a prophet raised by God. And he'll be a prophet from among the people of Israel. So he will not be a foreigner, he is an Israelite, a particular prophet from the people of Israel. And what is his special character? He will be like Moses. He'll raise up for you a prophet like me, that is Moses, a prophet like Moses. Now, who was Moses? What did he do? What do the people think about, believe about Moses? Whatever Moses did, this prophet also will do. The qualities of the prophet will be like that of Moses. Moses, above all, was a liberator. Moses was called by God to bring the people out of slavery. So the prophet, like Moses, will also bring the people out of slavery. In fact, the time of Jesus, the people were in virtual slavery. They were an occupied people. They were under Roman rule. They were a colony. So naturally, when people speak about or think about a prophet like Moses, the first thought will come to the liberation. Moses, who liberated the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt and brought them to the promised land, so the prophet who is like Moses will bring the people out of slavery. Now in concrete situation, from the slavery to the Romans. So that is one side of the expectation, but not necessarily the only side. So he was a liberator, and people thought this liberation is going to be a socio-political liberation, as it was apparently in the time of Moses. But we know the liberation of the people of Israel was not only from socio-political bondage. Ultimately, it was leading to a new type of liberation, that is a liberation from sin and death. So the prophet like Moses, the liberator. Second, this Moses is the one who mediated the covenant. Moses is seen as the one who mediates the covenant. The book of Exodus, chapter 19 to 24, we see the whole explanation of the covenant. The entire book of Deuteronomy speaks about the covenant. So Moses is the mediator who mediated between God and the people. He mediated the covenant, covenant of Sinai. So in this context, a prophet like Moses will mediate a new covenant. The covenant of Sinai was broken, we know, at the very moment of institution. When God was giving the covenant, writing down the commandments with his own finger on the tablets of stone, as it is said in the book of Exodus, the people of Israel at the foot of the Mount Sinai, they were worshipping the golden calf. And the Sinai covenant was broken at the very moment of its institution. And this has been explained and dramatically presented by Moses, who broke the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant at the foot of the mountain and ground it to powder. So the broken covenant has to be renewed, a new covenant has to come. So the Moses, the new Moses, will be one who mediates a new covenant. The third, Moses is the lawgiver. Moses is the one who taught the people the will of God and what they should do. So the new Moses, the prophet like Moses, will give them the new law. Interpret the law, give them the authentic interpretation of God's will. And that's what the law is. He will reveal God's will. So this is what is expected of the prophet like Moses. He will liberate the people. He will mediate a covenant. He will bring the law or interpret the law, reinterpret the law. That will be the authentic revelation of God's will. And this expectation continued in the people of Israel. They treasured this hope. Parallel to the messianic expectation, or the expectation of a messianic king, there came another trend of expectation of the eschatological prophet. This is reported in the Qumran scrolls. A scroll called the Community Rule, a scroll found in the ninth cave of the Qumran, on the Qumran caves. So in chapter 9, verse 11 of that scroll, we are told that the people were waiting for three messianic figures, a prophet like Moses, a messiah of David, and a messiah of Aaron. One of the awaited three figures is prophet like Moses. And this is how Jesus was also interpreted and understood. When John the Baptist appeared, they were asking, "Are you the prophet?" So the passage I wrote at the beginning, people asking, are you the Messiah, are you Elijah, or are you the prophet? So the prophet points this particular line of expectation, a prophet like Moses. John the Baptist denied, "I am not the prophet." Then the people believed that Jesus is that prophet. And Jesus accepted that prophecy to himself. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, we hear a prophecy read from the book of Isaiah. We'll interpret it later. And then in verse 21, 4:21, Jesus says, "Today in your hearing, this prophecy has been fulfilled." So Jesus presents himself as the one who fulfills the prophecy. All the prophecies, including the prophecy of Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 18. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 20 to 23, Peter quotes from this prophecy and states that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Moses said, Acts 3:22. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you from your own people a prophet like me. You must listen to whatever he tells you. And it will be that everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be utterly rooted out from the people." So one has to listen to this prophet. And the people were believing, the disciples believed that Jesus was a great prophet like Moses. And that's what they remembered on the way to Emmaus. He was a great prophet, mighty in word and deed. So the prophecy concerning Moses, a prophet like Moses, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So this is another way of understanding, another tool to understand the person of Jesus Christ, the prophet, the eschatological prophet like Moses. Let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as the prophet like Moses, the authentic interpreter of your will. Enable us to listen to him, understand his word, understand the revelation he gives us, and obey him as you have commanded through Moses. Enable us to submit our will to your will, manifested, interpreted, and revealed to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.